lot these days about rebranding. This term has become popular in the business world with companies that are looking for a fresh start, looking to change their image. Maybe you need to rebrand your life. Evangelist Andy Clark sheds some light on how you go about rebranding.
Now I have the distinct privilege of welcoming up our missions pastor, was our missions pastor. Andy and Emily Clark have been in our house for many, many, many years. The relationship goes way back. Andy was born in Liberia, Africa, and his parents were missionaries there. Andy has been a missionary for many, many, many years, both in Africa and Kenya, planting Bible colleges and churches. Our team went over there last year, had a great time. He then went to Haiti and was in doing Bible college work and missions work down there for another 8 years. Is that about right? Another 8 years. Came on our staff for a number of years, and now is the head. He started a nonprofit missions organization called Equipping the Nations, which we're privileged to partner with to see God's kingdom built all around the world, particularly in Muslim nations. And so God is doing some awesome things through him and his life. When we rebranded the church a few weeks back, Andy emailed me and said, I really believe the Lord gave me a word for our house. And I said, well, if you heard it, I believe it. So we want to have you come and share that. So what about the first weekend in May? We're starting a new season, a new series called Letters from My Father next week. It's a book study on Timothy. But today we get to hear a Kairos word, a word for this moment, for this house, for you today. So can you please welcome Pastor Andy Clark? Bless you.
God is good. As Pastor Jonathan was saying, about 6 or 7 weeks ago, I was praying about our rebranding that was happening in our church and what God was doing and speaking. And in about 30 minutes, God downloaded this message. Now, I know it was God and the Holy Spirit because I could not come up with a message like this in 30 minutes, not in a million years. And it was so good that I emailed it to Pastor Jonathan. Now, I have never done that before, so it must have been a God thing. And the next miracle, which I was telling Thaxton, was Jonathan said yes. You know, pastors love preaching, and it's a sacrifice for a pastor to give up their pulpit for a Sunday. And so if you don't believe in miracles, you're seeing a miracle this morning, you know. So rebranding. I want to look at a definition, start by looking at a definition of rebranding. Rebranding often involves radical changes to a brand's logo, name, legal names, and image. The process can occur intentionally through a deliberate change in strategy or occur unintentionally from unplanned emergent situations. I love that term, unplanned emergent situations. You know, next time you're late to work because of a traffic jam, just tell your boss, I'm late because I had an unplanned emergent situation. And see how he processes that word, you know. But in the context of rebranding, an unplanned emergent situation is a crisis that happens in a business or your personal life that requires a total change in your life, requires a radical change in your life. Maybe you've lived through a crisis like that. If you haven't, then you can praise God and hope you never do. But the other aspect of rebranding is it's an intentional, deliberate change. And at the House of Prayer here, the rebranding did was an intentional, deliberate change. And the reason I believe that happened is because God wants to position us for this end time harvest that's coming in. I've read in many places that many people believe that in the next 20 years, we're going to see more people saved in the next 20 years than in the first 2,000 years of the history of the church. God is getting ready to pour out his Spirit and show forth his power like he never has before. And it is harvest time. I read somewhere that 70 people are saved every second. And Jesus said, when one person is saved, all the angels in heaven rejoice. So if 70 people are getting saved every second, guess what's happening in heaven? They are on continual party time. Heaven is not stressed out. Heaven is not paying attention to the news, because God is greater than the news. In fact, God is the one that's orchestrating the last day and events. And never let the news deceive you into believing anything else. You need to get into the book, and we win at the end. Amen? So God gave me seven aspects or characteristics of rebranding. Now, the first service, I only got through six of them. At Westchester, I was saying if it was Jonathan, he'd probably only get through three of them. But I got through six of them. Westchester, and hopefully this morning and second service, I will get through all seven of them. But the first aspect of rebranding means taking on a new identity. Rebranding means taking on a new identity. You know, when you rebrand, you have to change. Part of it is changing the name. And changing the name affects everything. For example, you're stationery. When you rebrand, you know, what would you think if you got a letter from the House of Prayer and we had scratched out House of Prayer and scribbled above it Hope Point Church? You know, you'd probably say, I will never come to this church. This church is so cheap. I will never come to this church. You know, or maybe maybe upped it a little bit and you actually put a label, Hope Point Church, on the old stationery. But, you know, the problem with that is some of the old name bleeds through the label, you know. And so, you know, no matter how much stationery you have, no matter how good it is, and even if you paid hundreds of dollars for this perfectly good stationery, when you rebrand, that stationery becomes totally irrelevant. You have to chuck it all. You can't reuse it, you can't save it, you can't do anything. It is history because you've rebranded. And as Christians, when we rebrand, we take on a new identity. We don't just modify our old identity, we take on a new identity. And in John chapter 3, verse 5 through 7, a guy named Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, and he wanted to know, Jesus had been talking about how to get into the kingdom of heaven, and Nicodemus wanted to know what he needed to do to make sure he got into the kingdom of heaven. Now, Nicodemus was a good guy. He was a Pharisee. They were the teachers of that day. They were the most important religious figures of that day. They wore big special robes. When they walked down the streets, people blew trumpets and bowed down to them. So Nick was an important guy in his day. And he comes to Jesus at night because he's afraid of damaging his identity, because all his Pharisee friends do not like Jesus because Jesus is challenging their territory. And so he's expecting Jesus to say a couple things that needs to change. But Jesus says, no, Nick, you need to be born again. Not just make some changes. Oh, you've lived a good life. You've served God. You've done everything. But you, to get into the kingdom of God, you need to take on a new identity. See, going to church, being religious and all that stuff does not get us into the kingdom of God. We have to take on the identity of Jesus Christ. God becomes our Father. We come into a new relationship with Him. Another example of rebranding was a guy named the Rich Young Ruler. And we don't know his name, but the Bible identifies him as Rich Young Ruler. And I like those three terms. He was young, rich, and a ruler. I mean, what more can you have? Young, rich, and a ruler. I wish I had those three things, you know. I mean, and this guy really had it together, because Jesus said, you know, have you obeyed all of the commandments? And he says, man, I've obeyed all the commandments since my youth, man. I mean, this guy really had it together. His life was together. He was on the top, man. He was there. And he, just like Nicodemus, he was expecting Jesus to say, well, you need to do a couple things here and you'll be good. And Jesus looks at him and he says, I need you to give all your money away and follow me. And the Bible says that the man went away sad because he was very rich. See, God requires a change of identity. And the rich young ruler's identity was in his wealth. See, God does not want to take away your job and your money and your house and your car and all those things. God is not going to take those things away. But God wants you to change your identity. So your identity is not in your marriage. Your identity is not in your kids or grandkids. Your identity is not in your job or how much money you have or the size house you have or the kind of car you have. You shift your identity. When you become born again, you shift your identity from all those things because all those other things are temporal. They can go away in a moment. And I've seen Christians crash and burn because even though they claim to be Christian, their identity was in something else rather than totally in Jesus Christ. And for me, my identity cannot be in my ministry. My identity needs to be in Jesus Christ. And if something would happen where I couldn't minister anymore, I would still be a child of God because my identity is in Him. The power of identity is really illustrated in the story of a man named Matthew. Now, if you get the picture there, Matthew, Jesus at this time, was the number one teacher in Israel. He went around daily doing miracles and signs and wonders, preaching with authority. Thousands were following him lately, everywhere he went. And he chose 12 guys to be his disciples. Now, this is the inner circle. So you can think of the biggest bishop in the world, the biggest pastor, and he invites you in the inner circle. You are now the man. And Jesus is walking down the road one day, and he sees Matthew. Matthew's a tax collector, and tax collectors were hated by the Jews. In that time, they said tax collectors and sinners, because tax collectors are a whole other category of sinners. And because tax collectors were Jews who collected taxes from their own people and gave it to the Romans. And not only did they collect taxes, they collected more than taxes. They had all power. Whatever they told you to pay, you had to pay, and there was no legal recourse. You just had to pay. So everybody hated Matthew. Matthew was hated by everybody. And Jesus walks by Matthew, and he says, Matthew, follow me. And in one instant, Matthew goes from being a tax collector to being an apostle of Jesus Christ. He doesn't have to go to Bible school. He doesn't have to quit smoking and chewing gum. No, he just transitions instantly. I don't know where that chewing gum from. It didn't come from the Holy Spirit, I'll tell you that. But he immediately transitioned from being the worst of sinners to the inner circle of 12 of Jesus Christ. And that is the power of rebranding. That is the power of the new birth. That is the power of the gospel. That no matter whether we're good or whether we're bad, in one instant, our whole identity can change and we become children of Almighty God. Rebranding means a change of identity. Secondly, rebranding requires reprogramming. You know, it doesn't require you loading a new app. It requires a totally new system. Maybe it's like going from a PC to a Mac. You know, you have to learn the whole new system. It's not just a little modification to the old system. And Jesus goes on and he explains in talking with Nicodemus in John 3:8, continuing with that conversation, Jesus tells Nicodemus, the wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So the reprogramming that happens is you're not moved by the world anymore. You're moved by the Holy Spirit. You don't respond to people and situations. You respond to the Holy Spirit. How many people have flown in airplanes? You know, when you fly in an airplane, you lose total control. But if you're not willing to lose total control, you will never fly. And it's the same way in the kingdom of God. If you are going to experience God's supernatural in your life, you have to be willing to lose some control and allow the Holy Spirit to intervene and upset your normal programming. God in your life wants to start intervening. He wants to give you words of wisdom. He wants to help you know how to do your business. He wants to help you with your family, help you with your kids. He wants to make you brilliant in everything you do because the Holy Spirit is brilliant. He knows everything in every department of life. And he's there to help you if you will, as a new person in Christ. Listen to him. In John 14:26, it says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you." And in John 15:26, Jesus says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." So Jesus said, "I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to be your helper in this process." You see, you're born again in a moment, but you spend a whole life discovering who you are. How many people here are married? If you're married here, raise your hand. You know, I've been married for 32 years. I'm still trying to figure out my wife. And I'll spend a lifetime. And she'll spend a lifetime trying to figure me out. You know, when she said "I do" to me, she was rebranded. And she took on a new identity, and she had no idea what she signed up for. And I've been dragging her around the world ever since. But, that Jesus said, "I'm going to make you brand new, but I'm giving you the Holy Spirit to help you walk out that new life, to reveal to you." He said, "The Holy Spirit will teach you, bring things to your remember. He's going to speak about me, so that you know how to walk." So you need to start reprogramming if you're rebranded and start listening to the Holy Spirit. Number three, rebranding requires a new perspective. You can't be rebranded to be a new person, see things the old way. And in 2 Corinthians 5:16-17, says, "Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." If you're born again here, you are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Everything has become new. And you need to begin to see yourself that way. Maybe you're an angry man. When anger begins to rise up, you need to remind yourself, "I'm a new person. I'm not an angry man. I'm a peaceful man now." You know, if frustration or anxiety or jealousy starts to rise up, whatever it is that was part of your old nature, you need to instantly remind you, "That's not who I am. I am a child of Almighty God. I have God's nature in me." We need to begin to see each other that way. Not see each other's failures and accentuate each other's failures, but we need to start speaking to each other who we are in Jesus Christ. You are a conqueror. You're an overcomer. You're not a loser. You're mighty and powerful. You can overcome the enemy. We need to start speaking that way to one another, because rebranding brings a new perspective. See, this rebranding is a personal, but it's also corporate. We need to have a new perspective about our church. We need to talk about our church differently. I don't know if you've ever badmouthed your church, but don't badmouth your church. Don't be negative on your church. We need to start speaking what God is going to do at Hope Point Church. We need to change our perspective and our identity as a church if we're going to move into everything that God has for us. Number four, rebranding requires radical, intentional, and deliberate change. Rebranding requires radical, intentional, and deliberate change. Now, Jonathan can sure tell you about this because he's been through it. But when you start rebranding, you do not realize how much stuff has your name on it. I mean, they changed their website, so that means new email addresses. That means all the banks and everybody else you deal with, everything has to change because you've rebranded. You've taken on a new identity and a new name. And you keep finding new stuff. You know, rebranding is like moving. You ever move? And you don't know how much stuff you have until you put it in boxes, you know. And then you finally discover how much stuff you have. You know, so rebranding requires a constant change. God, by the Holy Spirit, will constantly reveal some of your old nature to you, and you can't save it. You got to chuck the old stationery. When God reveals something, chuck it. Don't try to modify it. Chuck it. Let God deal with it, and you start walking a new life. In Ephesians 4:20-24, it says, But you have not so learned Christ, talking about how you were in the past. If indeed you have heard of him and taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your old form or conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So you have to take off the old man and put on the new man. It's an intentional action of taking. It doesn't happen automatically. You have to intentionally. There's a little song I learned that I'm not going to sing, but I'll say the words to you this morning because I'm not a singer. It goes, I tell you the best thing I ever did do. I tell you the best thing I ever did do. I tell you the best thing I ever did do. I took off my old robe and put on the new. The old robe was tattered, all dirty and torn. The new robe is spotless and never been worn. I tell you the best thing I ever did do. I took off the old robe and put on the new. Hallelujah. Amen. See, God wants us to take off the old man that we used to be, rebrand, put on the new. Don't put the new over the old. That's faking it. That's hypocrisy. That is not truth. That is religion. God causes to rebrand radically intentional and deliberate change. Number five, rebranding allows you to do something new and different. I love this one. You know, when you rebrand, when a company rebrands because of bankruptcy or whatever, they have an opportunity to get new resources and do something totally different than they were before. And when you rebrand with God, it allows you to do something totally new and different. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 10 through 12, Deuteronomy 11, 10 through 12, Moses is talking to the children of Israel as before they cross from the wilderness into the promised land. And this is what he says to them. For the land you're going to possess is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you sowed your seed and watered it by foot as a vegetable garden. But the land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which drinks the water of rain from heaven, a land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. Now in Egypt, Egypt's an arid land, so anything you plant, you have to irrigate it from the Nile. And evidently back in that day, they pumped water from the Nile with a foot pump. And so you could only irrigate as much land as you could water and as much as you could foot pump, you know. And so he called, in the scripture, Moses says they had vegetable gardens in Egypt. Why? Because you could only foot pump a vegetable garden. I mean, you couldn't find anything bigger than a foot. I mean, but God says when you get into new land, that rain, God is going to bring rain from heaven, and the land is going to drink the rain from heaven. No more foot pumping. You get, God provides for as much as you can plant. God is going to provide for as much as you can plant. There is no limitation to it anymore. But you know, we get so caught up in foot pumping, trying to keep our vegetable gardens alive, that we never move into the promised land. You know, we're foot pumping 60 hours a day, trying to maintain our house and our car and everything else. Foot pumping, pump, 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 just trying to get that water up into our little vegetable garden. And God said, oh, look over here, man. I got a land that rain from heaven comes down this land. You need to make a transition. You need to, when you rebrand, you come into a whole new land with new possibilities, new potential, and new provision. We need to move from foot pumping in our lives as a church and everything else and move into the supernatural. But you have to take on the identity of Christ and be moved by the Holy Spirit for that to happen in your life. Number six, rebranding is personal and corporate. Rebranding is personal. It needs to happen to each of us individually and happen to us as a church. And in Joshua 5:2, it says, at that time the Lord... Now, Israel has crossed over the Jordan. They are in the promised land, and they are positioning themselves to attack Jericho and take the promised land. And this is God's instruction through Joshua. And at that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives for yourself and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time. Now, when Israel came out of Egypt, circumcision was a sign of covenant. When Israel came out of Egypt, God had them all the males circumcised as a covenant with them that he was their God. Took them to Mount Sinai, spoke to them audibly so they would know that he was no, there was no other God like him. But Israel failed to take on their new identity. He still had Egyptian thinking. And because of that, they languished in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, wilderness life is no fun. No wilderness, God provided for them, but they ate manna, breakfast, lunch, and supper every day for 40 years. I'm sure someone created a cookbook called 101 Ways to Prepare Manna. You know, how would you like to eat manna for 40 years? You know, their shoes never wore out. Now, I don't know if you want to wear the same shoes for 40 years. I know Pastor Jonathan doesn't want to wear the same shoes for 40 years. You know, their clothes never wore out. You know, I mean, no fashion changes. You know, you wear the same stuff for 40 years. See, that happens when you foot pump. Foot pumping is just maintaining your vegetable garden. See, God wants to move you into the supernatural with him. God wants to move you into the place, and God wants to move us as a church into the place of abundance. And when they came into the promised land, God told Joshua, you have a new generation and you need to circumcise all of them because I want you to rebrand them in order that they will be able to move into the promised land. And you know, God wants to covenant with us on an individual basis, and God wants to covenant with us on a corporate base to prepare us for what he wants to do at Hope Point Church and wants to do in our lives. The seventh point, which I didn't get to in the early service, but I am going to get to it in this service. I did get to it at Westchester. I don't know what happened over there. But anyway, the seventh one is rebranding brings change to your environment. Rebranding brings change to your environment. In Isaiah 43:19, it says, behold, I do a new thing, now shall spring forth, now shall you not know it. I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. See, God doesn't say, I'm going to take you out of the wilderness and out of the desert. No, he says, I'm going to bring a road into your wilderness and a river into your desert. Why does he say that? We want to get delivered out of the wilderness and desert. No, God wants us to influence our wilderness and desert. God wants us to bring life into our wilderness and desert. If your job is a wilderness or desert, God wants to bring life in your job. We're praying, oh God, deliver me out of your job. And God's not delivering us out of a job because he wants to use you to bring life into your job. If your marriage is struggling right now and you feel like exiting stage left, don't exit, you know. God wants you to use you to bring life into your marriage, you know. See, God wants to bring in, as God rebrands us, he causes us to influence our environment. So rebranding means taking on a new identity. Rebranding requires reprogramming. Rebranding requires a new perspective. Rebranding requires a radical, intentional, and deliberate change. Rebranding allows you to do something new and different, new possibilities, new provision. Rebranding is personal and corporate. Rebranding brings change to your environment. That's what God wants to do at Hope Point Church. Now, maybe you're here today and you've never been born again, never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Today, you have a chance for a new identity. You don't have to worry about changing a bunch of things in your life to make yourself worthy. Whatever issues you have in your life, God has no problem with those issues. He has no problem with it all. All he asks you is to take on a new identity. If you haven't been born again, I want you to just quickly raise up your hand and indicate that you want to be born again. There's someone back here that wants to be born again. Praise God. Anybody else want to be born again? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to tell you, young lady, that God is bringing you into a powerful new experience with him. You've been dealing with some issues in the past, but God is getting ready to birth something new in your life because he is going to rebrand you today and give you a new identity. I want us all to just say this prayer after me. And if you've never accepted Jesus or been born again, or maybe you've wandered away and you're coming back, let's rebrand. Let's recircumcise on an individual basis. I just want you to repeat this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, and that you rose again to give me new life. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. I will choose to turn away from them, and I choose to become your child, to take on your identity. Lord, help me to walk out my new life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we have a place back here called Starting Point. You can get connected with the body of Christ that can help you. The second thing I want to do is for us to rebrand as a congregation. And I want to ask everyone to stand up. And I want us to covenant with God that we are going to rebrand individually and that we are going to rebrand as a body. God is getting ready to do something awesome by His power in this world, and God wants to do something awesome in this church, and it requires a push. You know, when a woman gives birth to a child and she goes into labor pains, it's very painful, but she can't say, time out, I've decided not to kill that kid after all, this is way too painful for me. No, she has to come into agreement with her body, and she needs to push, you know. And God, the kingdom of God, is pressing in on the kingdom of this world. The kingdom of God is being birthed into the, and you are part of that. And the kingdom of God is pressing against the kingdom of Satan. And that's why we're seeing all the conflict we're seeing. And it's going to be painful, but we shouldn't say, we can't say time to quit. Because no matter what you think or what you say, the kingdom of God is coming. And no government, no army, no nothing else can stop the kingdom of God, which is coming to this earth. And we have a choice as a people of God not to say help is hurt, but to push and come into agreement to birth the kingdom of God into this world. God gave me a word as I was praying over this sermon. I want you to read it, then we'll pray together. It says, God wants to do a new thing in the house. Old molds must be broken for the new thing God wants to do. Old ways of thinking, old ways of doing things, old habits and life patterns that hinder us from moving forward with God. New things bring new direction and new provision that we did not have access to before. It makes a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. As the water level rises in the house, the water level will rise in every home in the house. God wants to take us out of park and put us in the drive so we're ready to move when He moves. God, by His Spirit, wants to raise your level of expectation. So I want you to just pray with me, and we're going to recovenant with God. Let God circumcise us and renew our covenant with Him that we can move into the fullness that He has for us. Lord Jesus, as a body, as individuals and as a body, we come before You today, Lord God. And we reestablish covenant with You that we are, You are our God and we are Your child. Lord, we take our identity off of everything else and we put our identity fully upon You, Lord God. And Lord, we covenant with You just as the children of Israel covenant with You before entering the promised land. We covenant with You that we are not going to violate our covenant. And we are going to walk in the fullness of what You have for us, Lord God. Lord, we pray for Your anointing upon every person, Your blessing on every person, on every house, every marriage, every family in this church, Lord God. We pray Your blessing upon us as a body, Lord God. As a body, we'll move into the fullness of what You have for Hope Point Church. Lord, we glorify and magnify You today because You are worthy of glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Today's message was preached from the pulpit of Hope Point Church in Chesterfield County by Evangelist Andy Clark. Are you looking for a church home? We extend to you a cordial invitation to visit Hope Point Church soon. You'll find valuable information about the church and its ministries on this website. Or you can call the church office at 796-2828. Thanks for listening. Have a great week, and we hope to see you soon at Hope Point Church, where you'll find hope for your life. There is hope, you're not